Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision Radio Show. Today is Wednesday, and as you know, we normally have an interview, and today we actually have a really fabulous interview lined up with Sean from the SGT Report, and we probably will end up talking about the social program because we're being bombarded by, I guess, the overlord's big plans going on recently. I mean, from what happened in Riverside to the naming of the person of the year, we're just being bombarded with dumbfuckery, and there's no other way to put it. I'm sorry to cuss, but that's just about what it is. We are under assault, and we need to talk about it because we are all that we have. We are it. There's no one coming to save us, so it's up to us to have honest, intelligent conversations, even if we disagree politically, spiritually. As human beings, this is the only planet that we live on. So I want to welcome Sean to the show this morning. We only have an hour, and I really appreciate your time, Sean. Welcome to the show.
Lonnie, thanks. It's great to be back. How are you today?
I'm doing really excellently. How are you?
Well, I'm hanging in there. I wanted to give you kudos on your interview, I think, last Wednesday with Dana Durnford. That was great. I like that guy a lot. He's cool.
Me too. Dana, really. What's really amazing about Dana is he's touching a nerve, man. They're going after him hard. And actually, I don't know if you're aware, but there was a comment made by another journalist about him that she had read online. And she's an anti-nuke activist who didn't do her homework. And it really hurt the at least the internet community. It didn't hurt the establishment anti-nuke community because they, frankly, were not even aware of Dana Durnford. She was just mouthing what she had heard. And this is what I wanted to talk about. I'm glad you brought that up. This speaks to the social programming. I mean, really, when a person who's an anti-nuke activist will go after another activist from reading a newspaper journal because her anti-nuke establishment friends have told her that he's a lunatic, she didn't even bother looking into the 15,000 miles that he drove up and down the coast in his little, basically like a dinghy, I don't know what, that little plastic rubber boat that went up and down the coast and took pictures of the coast. Dana Durnford, by the way, if anybody missed that interview, is the nuclear proctologist. He has a website called thenuclearproctologist.org where he did document his 15,000-mile journey. So it was really a great interview. Thank you for talking about it, Sean.
Yeah, well, you know what? They're targeting the truth tellers now. But, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. I think that's the good news is that,
yeah.
You know, as we've talked about a lot, you and I always tend to get on this track of talking about social engineering, and I give you credit for wanting to talk about that because that's exactly what's going on. That's what false flag terror and psyops are designed to do. They're designed to engineer public opinion and steer the public toward things the public would not otherwise support, like endless war in the Middle East, and we can talk a lot about that. And, Yeah, I just commend the truth tellers. I commend Dana for talking about Fukushima, because we're not going to get that information from the mainstream Mockingbird CIA media. We're not going to get it. They're told not to cover it, right? You and I have talked about this before.
Not at all. In fact, this morning I read an article. It actually said, scientists are beginning to suspect the whale die-off related to Fukushima. How long has it been? How many whales have been dead? I mean, honestly, 337 whales beached up in Chile in the month of November. That's not even the ones we've seen in the United States. So it is, and they're just now, it's begin. They cannot keep it down, because it's like I tell people, they can lie about the harm that radiation causes, but guess what? Radiation is not going to lie about the harm it causes you.
Right. Well, I mean, don't you wonder, though, Lonnie, I mean, at what point, and I think many of us fear that the tipping point is getting close, which is why they're able to push this climate change agenda, and Obama can go to Paris and take part in COP21 and tell everybody that if we just, you know, give up our access to energy, if we just sign on to carbon trading, if we just do these things in order to, quote unquote, save the planet, everything will be okay.
Yes.
It's because we're all worried that they've destroyed the planet. We're all worried that Fukushima is a problem that is irreversible, as we're now hearing from a former Japanese official who's going public saying it's unstoppable,
right,
in his words, right? We're seeing that at ENE News. It's unstoppable. Fukushima radiation pollution of the Pacific is unstoppable. They need help. But what do we get? We get these clowns going to Paris to try to tell us that if we just implement Rothschild agenda, UN agenda 21, agenda 2030, and COP 21 policies, and if we just restrict energy here in the West, everything will be fine. You know,
exactly.
Global warming, climate change will all be magically fixed, even though we know China's not going to play ball. They already have all the industry anyway. So what they want to do is they want to rewind the clock to 15th century living standards for those of us in the West, right? And if we don't have access to energy, if you can't heat your home with coal in the basement or natural gas in the basement, if you can't run a car because there's carbon coming out of the back of the car, then guess what? You're going to walk, you're going to ride a bike, you're going to live in a freezing cold little tiny apartment, because they don't want us to have single family homes. That's the whole agenda. This Rothschild Agenda 21 agenda is an agenda leading us directly into neo-serfdom.
Well, I think that we're very close to that. I mean, they don't want to. I mean, this is why I'm active. Like, when I woke up, what happened to Fukushima, and I started looking at the whole, because I was pretty politically active. But when I realized, when Fukushima happened, I put the pieces together, the puzzle went together, and I went, this is really, and then you start looking at the statistics. Really, a lot of the population on this planet already live in 15th century serfdom. I mean, right. We're already there, and we're, as Americans, we have had our blinders on, and frankly, many people prefer to just keep the blinders on. They don't want to have to face it.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? You hit the nail on the head there, because most Americans don't understand that, you know, several billion people in this world live on a couple dollars a day, and the banksters would love to see you and I and those listening live on a couple dollars a day. Now, why do I say that? Well, Obama was pushing the secret TPP trade agreement, right? And God help us if that gets through, which it probably will, which then, in his words, allows us to compete with other nations like Malaysia. And I think those workers make $2 an hour.
It won't go through if Bernie Sanders is president. I'm gonna tell
well,
you that.
Yeah, you know,
but,
well, unfortunately, Lonnie, the debate window started, I think, about 30 days ago for TPP, the Senate Congress debate. And if it does get through and he signs it before he exits the White House,
that's true.
It can't be undone. And so
that is very true. And my own senator was bought out. Ron Wyden was bought out to support the TPP, the so-called liberal senator. But, you know, the TPP is really just an indication of the greater picture, frankly.
Well, yeah, it is. And I want to read this soundbite. I think I've read this for you before, but it's going to lead into something extremely important that we need to talk about. And this is a quote from Woodrow Wilson, right? And I think it really sums up what we're up against. Now, Woodrow Wilson was the president under which the Federal Reserve Act was allowed to transpire in 1913. All right. So Woodrow Wilson, and I believe this was in his book that he had written about a decade later, and he said, and I quote, "Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it," end quote. Now, my friend Michael Rivero, from What Really Happened, has done a terrific video called All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. We know that the Rothschild mother said about her sons, if my sons didn't want there to be wars, there would be no wars. I think what Woodrow Wilson was talking about are the secret societies, and you can call it the Illuminati, but it's an inner working of secret societies aligned against humanity, Lonnie. And my question for you is this. If Woodrow Wilson knew about it then, and the Federal Reserve Central Bank in this nation was still young at that point, flash forward to today, where we're now $18.5 trillion in debt in an endless wars in the Middle East, and you tell me, is the power behind the scenes, the men, the puppet controllers that Woodrow Wilson was talking about, are they more powerful now or less?
Right, right, obviously. We know what that answer is because we're living that nightmare. I mean, they're about to build 64 nuclear power plants after Fukushima. That's one of the things that came out of COP21 is they are really going to build 64 new nuclear power plants. That's an insane proposition.
Well, it's it doesn't fix our problems, does it? And, you know, as Kevin Blanch has talked about, there's a nuclear cartel that profits from this stuff. And he's made the argument that the Japanese nuclear power plants are solely assets of the military-industrial complex and are, you know, are used to create the nuclear weapons. I mean, that's why they exist.
100% I didn't actually agree on that one.
Pardon?
I agree 100% on that. That's the only real answer why they're doing it.
Well, because after Fukushima, after the earthquake, they shut all those plants down, and Japan did just fine with energy. There were no rolling back blackouts. Tokyo stayed lit at night. So what's ever going on with these nuclear power plants, there's definitely more to the story than the common man believes because, you know, they can shut all the, what, how many were there in Japan? 53, 54. They shut them all down.
For
4 years and there are no power problems in Japan.
That's right. Dana Dernford surmises that many on the east coast of Japan were injured. They didn't have full meltdowns, but he surmises that many of them were disabled to the point because of the tsunami. They just never talked about it because Fukushima was so extreme. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is the whole thing when you think about nuclear power. It produces, what, perhaps 10% of the energy in this country, maybe, and we spend 90% of our DOD budget on it. I mean, there's something in that equation that doesn't match. There's something, it is a fat cash cow, and the way that they make these nuclear power plants so complicated to shut down, it's a deviousness about it. It's not a simple process. And you were right, it goes straight back to the bankers. They figured out a way to tie these things up so that if people got active, if citizens got active and discovered how outrageously harmful these things are, we can't just immediately just shut it down. And it is social engineering. And people have been, look at the people in St. Louis right now. I mean, the people of St. Louis have a fire going on. I'm sure you've heard of the Westlake Landfill fire. It is a quarter of a mile away from the original Manhattan Project nuclear waste. Now, there are people were not told that they were living right next to a nuclear waste dump site. And until the fire, this fire was going on at this landfill, at this industrial landfill where Monsanto and Bechtel put all their industrial waste, it started to spontaneously combust 350 feet underground. It's up to 300 degrees, and it's inching its way to the nuclear waste, less than a quarter of a mile away. And our senators and our congressmen actually had to get pressure from the citizens of the state of Missouri to actually create legislation so they could move it from the EPA, who has grotesquely mismanaged it, to the Corps of Engineers. And both those pieces of legislation are sitting in committee and doing nothing. And they're taking the slow train on this while the people of St. Louis literally are dying. There are people living within 1 mile of a nuclear dump site whose children have died, whose family members, every single family member has died. And, you know, I've been interviewing these people. Many of them don't even know that Fukushima is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't. And they also don't have the resources to move away from St. Louis, nor the desire. They just want the Army of Engineers to come in and clean it up.
Yeah, come in and fix it. Yeah, most of my friends, neighbors, and colleagues don't recall Fukushima. They don't know what that is. I mean, they may vaguely recall that Japanese, that horrific Japanese earthquake. I mean, they may have some semblance of memory about that, but they don't understand Fukushima. They don't know that really the greatest calamity, environmentally speaking, on planet Earth is ongoing. They don't know about it. And why would they? Because if they watch CNN or Fox News, they don't hear it reported on, Lonnie. And that's why we are doing what we're doing every single day at SGT Report, posting more than 80 alternative news, truthful news media alternatives, real news, every single day. And that's why I'm interviewing people 2-3 times a week and putting up additional information. Lately, I've had my eye on CNN specifically, Lonnie, because of the social engineering that you and I have talked
it's
about.
Really, I have to say, your website is so awesome. Like, if anybody wants to really pay attention to what's really going on, the articles that you post, and it's not just from you, you find other journalists out there who contribute to your page. And honestly, like this morning, I had a question for you about what is this Gladio? I was reading a report, and I heard your interview on YouTube. I follow you on YouTube, the SGT Report. And then I went to your webpage to kind of figure out if I could figure out what this word meant. You said Gladio style terror. And it was like, I was like, what is that? But actually, your website is so helpful and so insightful to people who really need to understand. It's really important for people to get a handle on the issues that are being thrown out there that we don't even pay attention to it because we're so inundated. I mean, we're inundated with harm coming to us from every angle. And this is why people just, it's kind of like Fukushima is the new F word and nuclear is the new N word. I mean, we're just being bombarded with stuff that we can't handle. We're on overload. And I really appreciate your website because it puts it in really good, simple terms, but things that help us understand what are the important issues.
Yeah, thanks a million for that. You know, when I say the Mockingbird mainstream media, and I refer to CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and ABC News, etc., the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the reason I say that is because the CIA bragged in the 60s about being able to get anything they wanted, any article they wrote, on the front page of newspapers and, you know, with Walter Cronkite on the evening news within 24 hours, and it was called Operation Mockingbird. So these are So these are assets of the, you could say, industrial, military-industrial complex, or really more appropriately of the intelligence agencies and who founded the intelligence agencies, the bankers, going back to the Dulles brothers. So we know what these people are. And what I'm fascinated by, Lonnie, is the fact that they get paid millions and millions of dollars a year to spew this crap. And CNN has all-time low ratings. I mean, they're really struggling, and that's the good news. So what we do at SGT Report is we try to keep an eye on their lies in an effort to really fix the brainwashing, to try to deactivate the brainwash, counteract the brainwashing that's happening, because people that sit at home and watch CNN or Fox News are going to be hopelessly brainwashed. And I want to give you some examples of that right now. Now, when you and I talk about social engineering, probably at the top of the list, and the reason I referred to Operation Gladio in that piece is because Operation Gladio, it's now completely on the record that Operation Gladio was a NATO operation in Italy during the Cold War, and they were using false flag terror to scare the public. Let me just read a little bit briefly about this for you. This is from Wikipedia, and I could have found a better source had I been more prepared, but let me just read this. Operation Gladio is the code name for a clandestine NATO stay-behind operation in Italy during the Cold War. Its purpose was to continue armed resistance in the event of a Warsaw Pact invasion and conquest. Although Gladio specifically refers to the Italian branch of the NATO stay-behind organizations, now you got to understand, NATO stay-behind organizations, that's black ops, that's special ops. That's not public. This is not public-facing. These guys were doing what they were doing under the cover of darkness. Operation Gladio is used as an informal name for all of them. I'm going to jump down. The role of the CIA in Gladio and the extent of its activities during the Cold War era and any relationships to terrorist attacks perpetrated in Italy during the years of lead, 1960s to the early 1980s, is the subject of debate. Well, it's not. This is what Wikipedia is saying. It's not the subject of debate. These people, the CIA and NATO, were pulling off devastating false flag attacks against civilian populations and murdering people and then blaming those attacks on their enemies. Now, that's what's going on today, I think, with, well, certainly we saw that happen on 9/11. Would you agree, Lonnie?
And that's interesting because, you know, in Italy is where the CIA went in and abducted. Do you remember that in the early 2000s, right after their attack on the American, you know, after this false flag of the 9/11 thing happened, there was some so-called terrorists inside of Italy that Italy was giving them protection, and the CIA went in and abducted them.
Mm.
So there was like six of them, and actually they did that. Italy actually did charge these agents. CIA.
Oh, that I do recall. Yeah, I do recall.
Remember that they got off scot free because the CIA runs the world. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line: is they do whatever they want, you know.
Well,
the judges.
Yeah, these intelligence agencies now I believe are working, you know, in tandem. They're working together. For instance, with the Paris attacks recently blamed on ISIS, there's great evidence. Well, first of all, there was drills taking place, just like there always are, just like there were on 9/11, just like there were on 7/7 in London, just like there were at Sandy Hook. There were
Riverside, this whole Riverside slathering. Yep. I mean, I don't buy it for a second. The first reports came out that there was three men.
Yeah,
and actually, there were witnesses. So
yeah, we're going to talk about that specifically. I have those eyewitness accounts prepared for you here because what's happening is social engineering, and we need to keep our eye on the ball. If Operation Gladio-style attacks have now come to the United States in the form of the Sandy Hook event, in the form of all of these mass shootings, including this latest one in San Bernardino, then that needs to be said. That needs to be uncovered. I don't know that there's anything that we can do about it because, again, the entity behind the scenes that scared the hell out of Woodrow Wilson has only grown more emboldened and more and stronger. So I don't know how we stop this, but we have to try to reverse the brainwashing. So what I would say here about what happened in San Bernardino, and I think this is really extremely important, is, and you're 100% right, what we get time and time again are drills taking place, and in the case of San Bernardino, there were active shooter drills happening that day within the same quarter mile circumference of these supposed attacks, right? And I'm not saying that there wasn't attacks. I'm not even saying that people didn't die. I don't know. They're not showing us bodies. We don't know the names of those who were killed yet. But more importantly, we always hear on the day that these things happen, the real news trickling out in real time, and then the official story taking hold hours later, and usually certainly within 24 hours later. So,
and you're leaving out a very important thing. The media is judge, jury, and prosecutor. The media is the prosecutor. These people have already been convicted. They already call them the terrorists. There was no investigation. Their home was open. I mean, as Jimmy Durante would say, that's a coinky-dinky about the police departments having these same operations the very same day at every single one of these. I consider these attacks against the American people.
That's exactly what they are. And you're right about the Mockingbird media, you know, because one of their agendas is then to propagandize these attacks, right, with the official story. So what did we see after the Paris attacks? We saw martial law. We saw the loss of liberties. The revision of the Constitution, the French Constitution, and immediately then we saw airstrikes on Syria when France didn't want anything to do with what's going on in Syria. Okay, so again, social engineering, manipulating people into doing, manipulating populations into doing that which they would never previously agreed to do. So, getting back to San Bernardino, you're right. Now, on the day, there were credible eyewitness accounts of three men, white men, dressed head to toe in black military garb, which to me, Lonnie, sounds like black ops, special ops, a special ops team, a hit team. And I want to play this soundbite from you. This is a CBS interview with eyewitness Sally Abdel-Magid. Here, listen to this.
Ms. Abdel-Magid, can you describe to me in as much detail as you can, what did the gunman look like?
I couldn't see his face. He had a black hat on. And from my view, all I could see was just a black hat and black long sleeve shirt, possibly gloves on. He had black cargo pants on, but kind of the zippers on the sides and the big puffy pockets. He had a huge assault rifle, and he had extra ammo. He's coming ready for something. To reload, I don't know. He had like magazines. I couldn't see what else. I just saw three dressed exactly the same.
You're certain that you saw three men?
Yes. It looks like their skin color was white. They looked like they were athletic built, and they appear to be tall.
Okay, I'm going to play another soundbite for you here in a second, but I want your reaction to that. Three men, athletic build, appeared to be white. And who got blamed? A Muslim dude and his little petite wife. Right. Does that sound like what she
who
saw?
Who had a six-month-old baby.
Yeah, does that sound like what she saw?
Right, and you know what I think about? I wonder what little conversation she got from somebody within the government, the deep state, to tell her to keep her trap shut.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to track her down and talk with her, actually, because, you know, these eyewitness accounts are extremely important. But as you know, what happened to many of the eyewitnesses that told a different story after the JFK assassination? You want to see the death list?
Exactly.
Related to the eyewitnesses?
Same thing with 9/11. Same exact thing with 9/11.
Yeah. The deep state is alive and well. And, you know, if we know, I've said this before, Lonnie, if they're willing to do what they did on 9/11, they're capable of anything. But let me play this now. And again, I want to give credit to one of the video producers out there in YouTube land from which I'm pulling this soundbite here. This is from Professor Doom. So you're going to hear Professor Doom's reaction to that soundbite from Sally. And then we're going to bridge into another eyewitness, Juan Hernandez. So if anybody out there wants to discount what Sally saw and call her delusional, well, now you got to deal with Juan Hernandez as well. So here it comes. This is Professor Doom.
Three tall, athletic white men does not translate into a husband and wife Arabic ISIS-led team. It doesn't. You are being lied to. Here.
Where I was at right here, we seen there was three white men in military fatigues taking off.
What were they driving?
It was black Impala, SUV, or yeah.
You think that they might have been the shooters?
Yeah. The way they were driving, yeah. Yeah.
And how many shots did you hear?
Oh, a lot. It was a lot. It sounded like, yeah, like I said, it sounded like a gun range, just shots going off like crazy. It was a lot. A lot of shots.
What's your first name?
Juan.
Juan, what's your last?
Hernandez.
All right, thank you.
Three white men in fatigues, and they jumped into a black SUV and left at a high rate of speed. And obviously, this is before the police showed up.
Now, of course, Professor Doom got that part wrong. He didn't say a black SUV. He said a black Impala. But the fact of the matter is you have two credible eyewitnesses who would have no reason to lie whatsoever, saying specifically that they saw three white men dressed head to toe in black gear. Again, this sounds like a black ops, special ops team, Lonnie. This sounds like exactly what the Mossad or the CIA would do. And this is how you know that the corrupt Mockingbird mainstream media, right? Wolf Blitzer, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Anderson Cooper, Diane Sawyer. This is how you know these people are highly paid, highly trained Tavistock Institute liars. They do not give a rat's ass about the truth, right? And a lot of people will say, well, if you really thought that if 9/11 was truly a false flag, like all of you truth nuts say, somebody in the mainstream media would report on that.
I don't think so. Look what happened to Michael Hastings.
Yeah,
his
they would.
His car was blown up.
They're highly, highly compensated liars. They're highly paid to lie to you. They're highly paid to read the government talking points. Now, anybody that wants to dig into this stuff, and anybody that wants to try to support the official story of what happened in San Bernardino needs to deal with Juan Hernandez and Sally Abdel-Majid. You have to deal with what they're saying, unless you just want to call them liars. But why would they lie? And why, most importantly, Lonnie, why won't CNN cover this? Why is it that only the alternative media on YouTube and in websites like mine are discussing this information? It's important, right? Because now you've got Zionist warmonger Lindsey Graham having a free pass to come on CNN anytime he wants, talking about the need to put boots on the ground in Syria because the San Bernardino shooters had pledged their loyalty to al-Baghdadi.
It's even deeper than that. This whole thing, this last week I heard that they now discovered that the mother of this young woman had big money put into her bank account. And when I heard that, I thought it sounds like the government is actually paying that family so that they could smear her kid. I mean, the way my mind goes, and I honestly cannot comprehend how anyone does not buy the official 9/11 story, honestly. But you know what? It's interesting. And you talk about, this is how the social programming goes. You know, I've watched just Rachel Maddow from the very beginning of her show. I can barely stand the show anymore, but I watch it to see what they're spewing out. At the beginning, she was a pretty naive, far left kind of a person who was a radio personality. She actually did cover the Gulf disaster. That was her last real reporting. When she reported on the Gulf and let people know, her news stories after that got way more corporate, and she started putting on makeup. And I sort of in my head have imagined living the life of these people who go into these deep state organizations with this fresh ideas, and then slowly they get beaten down and they are trained to conform so that they don't even think about asking the question. They just drink the pablum and spew it back out. And if you ask them, they look at you like, what? It reminds me of Brave New World. Honest to God, it reminds me of, I hope people have read that book, Brave New World, because it is really, and there's a few books people really need to read. Brave New World, Lord of the Flies, and 1984. These are really graphic books, but they really bring it home. And it's almost like the bankers use these as operating manuals. It's incomprehensible that we have to live through these times, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk a lot about this multifaceted attack against humanity. You and I have discussed that before. I mean, whether it's Fukushima and radiation or geoengineering or the economic collapse, the, you know, impending collapse of the world economy and the dollar as world reserve currency, vaccines, you know, poisonous vaccines and the vaccine agenda, SB 277 in California with mandatory vaccination signed by criminal Governor Jerry Brown. This is a multifaceted attack, multifaceted attack against humanity. So let's talk about the multifaceted attack just with that San Bernardino drill. Okay, what did they get out of it? First of all, you mentioned that money, right, going into the mother's account.
Mm-hmm.
If we know that the drills were happening on the day, can we not surmise or at least extrapolate and talk about the possibility that these two patsies that the shooting has been pinned on were part of the drill? Okay, so if they were part of the drill, they ended up murdered. Dead men don't tell tales. You can't talk. So no need for a trial. Don't worry about any evidence being presented. Don't worry about them having to deny anything. They're dead. So what about the cash in their accounts? What a convenient thing. This is what the powers that be got out of this San Bernardino shooting. They get a gun grab. They get cash is bad, and we need to stop terror because cash is bad, and if we can stem the tide on cash, we can stop terror. And then they get their war in Syria boots on the ground talking points that Zionist warmonger Lindsey Graham is spewing now all day long on CNN. That's the three multifaceted attack points that they get to benefit from.
You left something out. This was repeated on mainstream media repeatedly, and during the first 4 days where it was nonstop talking about it, they repeatedly said, the war on terror is here in the States. You need to prepare. They repeated that language repeatedly. Now we know that the war on terror has come to the United States. That was their big takeaway. And this is what's gotten, you know, the gun sales are off the charts now because of this. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
It's hilarious because what they really wanted to do was clamp down hard on that and say, well, we can't have guns. But Americans have gone the opposite way and said, you know what, we're getting them while we can because we know you're going to shut it down soon.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to. The last thing they need, the most important thing they can do besides an economic collapse to bring us to our knees is get the guns. They want to get the guns, right? And so you'll hear Hillary say that she can't tolerate this type of thing in San Bernardino. She's outraged and none of us should stand for it. Well, it happened in a gun-free zone. The strictest gun laws in the country are in California. This happened in a gun-free zone. So who gets shot? Everybody who doesn't have a gun. You know, again, do these idiots honestly think that the people that are NRA members, the people that actually cherish the Bill of Rights, in the Second Amendment. Does she honestly think that people are going to willingly give up their guns? No, they're trying to whip the dumb people into a frenzy to, you know, ban assault weapons and ban guns in general in a magazine that holds more than 9 rounds, all in an effort to stem the tide on these mass shootings. Well, the mass shootings are done by this secret society, by this the rogue government, the deep state. I mean, that's what's going on here, and I don't know, Lonnie, how people can't see that. I mean, you really have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to believe this official story. But here's the good news. The world is waking up. Putin and Russia have presented concrete evidence that this government is supporting ISIS in Syria. Of course, this government doesn't want Putin to help destroy ISIS in Syria, even though he's offered and is now actively doing it, because this government is in bed with al-Baghdadi, which you'll hear Zionist warmonger Lindsey Graham talk about al-Baghdadi all the time on CNN, and even though his buddy McCain met with al-Baghdadi, and we have the pictures proving that. But Putin has revealed that the men behind the curtain are these monsters that are in control, these Zionist monsters in control of the U.S. government and the Pentagon, right? And so now what do we see? We even see Iraq, this is from Zero Hedge today, Iraq seeks to cancel its security agreement with the United States, will invite Russia to fight ISIS. Let me read the first line. Most Iraqis, be they civilians, military personnel, or government officials, do not trust Americans. Okay? End quote.
Now, this, you know, I heard on a news report the other day, and they were saying, they were reporting, actually it was an article I read on the internet, it was really, what it said was that the Iraqis have pledged to fight the Americans if they come into their country. They don't want them there.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because what do we hear from the propagandist arm of the Pentagon over at CNN and Fox News? We hear that we need to, you know, put boots back on the ground to help the Iraqis fight ISIS. And the Iraqis know what's going on because every single time, look, do people realize that this government dropped pamphlets in Syria warning their ISIS partners that a U.S. airstrike was coming? And now that's global news. Everybody knows that the government warned ISIS terrorists to abandon their oil trucks before the U.S. oil strikes came.
Well, look, let's be really clear. Last year, when there was a picture that made it on some, it was all over the internet, of ISIS going down the desert, a big, long train of trucks.
It was Toyota trucks.
A long train of trucks with nobody else in sight. These, when our government refused, I mean, the so-called Islamic State does not have a real army, doesn't have warplanes, does not have military boats. You're telling us that the United States government cannot defeat an enemy that has no warplanes and no ships? I mean, it's incomprehensible for people to think that these people can actually be, quote, winning in those countries without the aid of Western agencies.
Well, here's the beautiful part. Previous to Putin and Russia taking an active role in dropping international truth bombs, and if you'd like to watch a video that I did just in the past week and a half about that, search on YouTube, international truth bombs are being dropped.
Excellent video, by the way. I did watch it.
Well, thanks, because now we know what you're saying is quantifiable. Now, previous to Putin getting involved and being so vocal on the public global stage, we would have had to theorize about this stuff and theorize that, of course, you know, blah, 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 blah. Putin is now quantifying it. He's showing us the satellite imagery of the oil trucks running unabated out of Syria with the stolen oil and into the arms of NATO's loving Turkey, right? Into the arms of Erdogan, into the arms of essentially America, because Turkey is an American ally and a member of NATO. So we know that Putin has got balls of steel to stand up against this maniacal force that is operating behind the scenes that Woodrow Wilson spoke about. Now, a lot of times in the comments at SGT Report, I'll see people say Putin's part of it. He's just a puppet. And my reaction to that is, okay, maybe so. But if that's the case, this is a galactic version of chess, a multi-level game of chess, and Putin is operating at a level. He's such an excellent actor that if he's a puppet, then he's a hell of a lot less helpful puppet than John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Hillary Clinton, or Barack Obama. So I'll take him all day long because he is speaking truth, and I think the world's waking up.
I think he's a puppet who cut his strings. He realized, holy crap, if I keep following this train, we're all going to die. I think that's... And honestly, it's like my friend Ed and I said, I grew up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and I had this idea about Putin and the Russians. In my wildest dreams, I would have never dreamed that Putin would be considered a more rational human being, like a humanitarian type of a human being, than our own president, who is dropping drones on people and wants to increase the drone program. And the idea that we can leave 55 units inside of a country and make a difference, it's ridiculous for the president to come on and say, well, we're going to send 55 people in. Really? When they say they're sending in 55 people, you know what that means? That they're hiring a bunch load of mercenaries to go in. They're hiring a bunch of subcontractors to go in that are not on the books. It's so insidious. People know what's happening.
Excuse me. Yeah, and that's exactly what Putin recently said. And I think I put some of that in my Truth Bombs Are Being Dropped video at the very end. You can watch Putin say, do you not understand? He's talking to reporters, including Americans, saying, do you not understand who is funding ISIS? These people are mercenaries. Right. You know, your government is paying these people. They'll fight for whoever pays them most. So you're absolutely right. They're mercenaries. And Lindsey Graham and John McCain just have their undies in a bundle because their buddies in
ISIS
are being destroyed now by Putin.
They are war profiteers. America's only product is war profiteering. That's really the answer.
Yeah, I was keeping my eye on CNN the other day and doing a report. And, you know, one of the advertisements on the channel was from, was it Raytheon or Lockheed Martin? I think it was an ad for Raytheon, and I had to chuckle. I'm like, these people, not only are they the mouthpieces for the Pentagon, their advertising is coming directly from the military-industrial complex, companies.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, because I hate him so much and I think he's such a demon, let me just play a little bit of this exchange for you between Zionist warmonger Lindsey Graham and CNN. Can I just play that? This is him talking up the San Bernardino shooting and how it justifies boots on the ground in Syria. Listen to this.
A lot of members of Congress are afraid to take another vote like this. Do you think it can get people on board?
Get out of politics if you're afraid to defend the nation.
What a hero. Lindsey Graham's warmonger wants to defend the nation by putting boots on the ground in Syria. Listen to this.
How could you not be afraid of another 9/11 coming from Syria?
Okay, so this time another 9/11 is probably coming from Syria, from the Pentagon-controlled puppets known as ISIS.
Syria, planned by ISIL. I did my 36th trip a week ago today. The president is misleading us about the 65 nation coalition. It's only on paper. The air campaign has some success, but it is not destroying ISIL. There is nobody left in Syria to work with that could destroy ISIL.
Chances you think Congress will vote on this?
There's nobody left in Syria to help us destroy ISIL. Yeah, that's because we don't want to work with Putin and Russia, who are hell-bent on actually destroying ISIL, the Pentagon-controlled puppets. Let's continue.
We'll vote on this.
I'm telling you, if the president would back my authorization, it would pass overwhelingly.
So people are scared right now, Senator.
Sure,
people are scared after what happened in San Bernardino.
People are scared, and they should be. They should be, because that's what Lindsey Graham wants. Want the American public that's willing to sacrifice for security. And as Ben Franklin warned, then we end up with neither. Let's continue.
How do you explain to them what you're offering to do here will help stop San Bernardino? Because these people, this couple apparently was terrorist shopping. They were reaching out to al-Shabaab and al-Nusra. Even if you take Raqqa, how can you guarantee the American people that this couple is not going to find some other inspiration for their deadly attacks?
I can't guarantee the American people that terrorism goes away, but I can guarantee you we can destroy the caliphate. This is not a terrorist organization, it's a terrorist army. And she pledged allegiance to al-Baghdadi before the attack.
Okay, so I had to play that for you. I wanted to get to that part where he says she pledged allegiance to al-Baghdadi before the attack. Who is al-Baghdadi? He's a U.S. puppet who John McCain met with. He is you mentioned him for Time Magazine. Didn't Time Magazine call him number two for Person of the Year?
Yes, they did. And that's the ironic part about it. Bernie Sanders got 10.2. Angela Merkel, actually, way down on the list, 2.4. al-Baghdadi, number two on the list. Scroll way, 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 way down, 0.06%.
Yeah. Well, and that's because Time Magazine is a Mockingbird mouthpiece for the Pentagon. Because they need to create these boogeymen. They claim that they destroyed bin Laden and dumped his body off the side of an aircraft carrier, right? Secretly under the cover of darkness. We have no video, but just believe us. right? So they need a new boogeyman. So who's the new boogeyman? Well, it's the guy that John McCain met with and shook hands with and created this plan with, al-Baghdadi.
Well,
and
that's the Taliban playbook, Sean. I mean, and frankly, they have destroyed Obama. Let's just be clear. They have to have good Freudian slip because they have destroyed Obama. And it is the same playbook. This is how we know. Like, these people need new writers. They're simple to see through.
Well, they're simple to see through, except for that dying generation, the generation that is collecting Social Security right now and enjoys Medicare with free hip replacements.
Don't you think that is disgusting that they're terrorizing the most elderly of our population? The youngest and the most elderly are being terrified.
And I do, but you know what? I come back to this. Every human being, at least in this country, when you have access to information and you have a thoughtful brain and you have intellectual capacity, willful ignorance is no longer an excuse. I mean, I guess I don't know what it's going to take to wake people up, but, you know, I hear it all the time from that generation that, oh, my God, did you hear about the mass shooting in San Bernardino? This gun thing is out of control. We need to ban guns. It's like these people don't understand the basics of the Magna Carta, of the U.S. Constitution, of the Bill of Rights, and they're whipped into frenzies by this social engineering, Lonnie, by these false flags, by these psyops.
It's true. This is why we're here, because you know what? The more we speak out about it, the more other people will be able to recognize these things, and it will deflate the air. Like, basically what they're running on in this country is fear. They want us all to be afraid. They want us all to be afraid. And this business of, you know, Trump saying we need to, they've got a new target again, the Muslims. And they're going after the Muslims pretty hard and heavy in this country again. And frankly, I don't know, I do know about the Islam religion. When I was much younger, I followed the Baha'i faith. And frankly, real Islam is a nonviolent religion, real Islam. But, you know, it's kind of like extremist anything is not healthy and happy. And it's a very, you know, It's so incomprehensible that Americans are willing to throw away our Constitution and the freedom of religion. It's just to buy into this business. I mean, I'm stunned. I'm actually stunned at how immature most Americans are, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to Islamic terror and the Islamic religion, you know, I think that there's good people and bad people in every religion, but you're going to find a lot more probably violent people that want to restrict, you know, women's speech and, you know, cut off women's genitals and do honor killings in the Islamic religion than you are in the Christian religion. So I want to go on record saying that. But I also want to say you're going to find crazy fundamentalist nutbags in the Jewish religion as well. I mean, if you want to look at the Israeli apartheid state and what they've done to Palestine, you know, why isn't CNN ever talking about that? Why does that get precious little news? Why does the Congress sit down and abdicate itself to a guy like Bibi Netanyahu and cheer every time he finishes his sentence? You know, why do we continue to put up with Israel and fund Israel endlessly and fight Israel's wars in the Middle East? Why do the American people have no problem with that? Because the propaganda is that the war of the clash of civilizations and the war we must fight is against Islam and in the Middle East. It has nothing to do with Israel. Well, guess what? There's a lot of evidence to suggest that the Mossad played a very important role on 9/11, on 7/7 in the London bombings, in the Paris attacks, multiple attacks.
Weren't they in Boston also?
Well, they may have been. I'm not sure about that, but I'll tell you what. The Mossad in the CIA, in the MI6 with the 7/7 bombings, they play a role. But who are we told is responsible? Oh, a man and a little petite woman pulled these attacks off in San Bernardino. Never mind the eyewitness attacks that said it was three athletic-built white men dressed head to toe in black, you know, military garb, and they escaped in a black Impala. Never mind that. Let's go bomb Syria. Let's ban all Islamic people from entering. So it's the tail wagging the dog. We're being manipulated. We're being manipulated. And I guess I'm going to say, as we kind of sum up this interview and, you know, have to wrap things up in the next 5-10 minutes. Again, I got to give credit to Putin, because Putin is really, really bolstering truth in a lot of ways. And he's really pointing the finger at the bad guys. And who are the bad guys? They're the guys that say the war is against ISIS, as they fund ISIS and protect ISIS. And then Putin says, I'll help you defeat ISIS. And the Pentagon says, no, thanks.
Well, you know what I think? I sort of thought this at first about why Putin decided to go against the standards at B's, they must have reneged on a big deal. That's probably what happened. There was a big, he didn't just decide to become magnanimous and stop these guys. It really has to do with the oil. It has to do with the fact that there's oil, there's money being made, millions of dollars, and he's just stopping that train. And it is very obvious that the United States government is protecting ISIS. And even ISIL, the name, the way that they run this around, the name ISIS, ISIL, the name that they call themselves is not even either one of these. I think they're called the Daesh. So in America, we really are being run around like a bull by its nose. We got the ring in our nose, and they're just swinging us around at will. And most people are frankly, they're in shock. They're in such shock. They don't even realize that the world is falling around behind them. They're just hanging out. They just keep digging in deeper and refusing to actively engage in stopping this. Because I think we have millions of people in this country. If people actually got involved and put pressure, these people that are in our elected officials, they have been coerced. But it's like I told Ron Wyden's office, if you got enough senators to act against the Unpatriot Act, they're not going to arrest 30, 10, 5, 2. If a senator stood up and said, look, I'm going to talk to you about Fukushima because this is a matter of national security, but it should not be held secret. I mean, we would actually get something done. I don't know if you've called your elected officials. This is one of the most annoying things I have found. I've been actively engaged in political calling the congressman since Bush stole the election. I mean, I was on the phone all the time from 2000 on. And now, when I first could call up, I could call my congressman's office and my senator's office and say, how does my senator feel about this issue? What do they think about? And they would give me, oh, well, his position is blah, blah, blah. Now you call your congressman, your senator, thank you very much, I'll give him your opinion. Well, I'd like to know what the opinion is of my congressman. I'm sorry, I can't speak for the congressman. You're telling me you work for him and you cannot tell me what his position. No, ma'am, you'll have to write us a letter and we'll have to write you back.
Mm-hmm.
So it is deep. And that, again, is a little bit of the brainwashing. It's like conditioning us to sit down, shut up, don't ask questions. If you want to put your name on a government list, write us a letter and we'll write you back.
Hey, I just want to say one thing as it relates to Putin. You said there must have been a deal that went bad or he got double-crossed. And I just wonder, I said this to Harley Schlanger in an interview that I did yesterday, and that'll be posting at SGT Report either tonight or tomorrow. And Harley Schlanger's a historian and a trusted ally, somebody I really respect. And I asked him about Putin, and I said, do you think it's possible, Harley, that because Putin is an Orthodox Christian and reintroducing Christian values and Christianity across Russia, do you think it's possible that this is genuine and he's not a puppet and he recalls the Bolshevik Revolution and the Rothschild arm in executing the Tsar and his entire family? Do you think it's possible that the Romanov family, when butchered by the Rothschild puppets, is a piece of history with which Putin is familiar? Do you think it's possible that he realizes that if he and China and he and whoever his allies are don't stand up against these satanic monsters, then the world will spire into hell? Do you think it's possible he's genuine? And Harley believes it is very possible because actions speak louder than words. And Putin isn't just speaking words. He's taking actions,
right?
Okay, all across the planet. He's building infrastructure. He's giving loans. I think he forgave a $31 billion loan to Cuba. When's the last time you saw this criminal government and the IMF forgive a loan? They don't forgive loans. They renegotiate loans and take territory. They take islands from Greece. So Putin is cut from a different cloth. And if he's a puppet, then he's a damn good puppet. And he's playing his role beautifully because I think actions speak louder than words. And I think he knows the Rothschild arm in executing the Tsar.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow, that's that's a little bit of food for thought. That's kind of we're nearing the end. That's a really great way to honestly, it's one of these confounding things because really, we, of course, here in America, we have heard nothing but demonization of Putin, right? Everything we know about him is he's a hardened KGB guy, right?
Yeah, public enemy number one.
Right, and in fact, that's all they say on mainstream media is that you can't trust him. He's not going to tell the truth. And it's very ironic that people in America are still buying it up. And it goes back to what my friend Jenny said. She said, Lonnie, I believe you, but if I really thought our government was doing this, I'd have a nervous breakdown.
And that's, well, you know what?
Yeah. That's what it's about.
Well, that speaks to willful ignorance. And I'll let you go here so you can wrap up your show. But I just want to say this as we part ways. That's the willful ignorance that makes my blood boil. Because even if you don't know about 9/11, even if you don't know about false flag terror, even if you don't understand what a central bank is in the Rothschild Rockefeller J.P. Morgan playbook for implementing a central bank in this country in 1910 and getting it signed into law in 1913, even if you don't understand usury, if you don't understand the IMF, Bank of International Settlements, the global war on terror being a farce, if you don't understand any of that, even if that's the case, you ought to be able to look at the millions of people killed in Iraq. And the millions, the hundreds of thousands of people killed in Afghanistan, and the shithole that we turned Libya into. And you ought to be able to look at it if you have a heart and ask yourself, should we still be playing a global role as the imperialist bully on planet Earth? Do I want to be a part of that? Should we as taxpayers be funding it? Should the military-industrial Pentagon complex get more than 50 cents of every tax dollar collected? Those are very simple questions that anybody with a heart and soul ought to be asking. So even if you don't understand the rest of it, you got some research to do, and soul searching to do, because otherwise you're a willfully ignorant, complicit patsy in all of this crap.
Well, that's kind of what I said to her. Look, this is on our watch. We don't have an obligation. We don't have the luxury of ignoring this. This is not like this is culminating. We have done nothing but ignore it, at least that I can see, you know, since the nuclear industry started, you know, after World War II, at least we have been ignoring it for at least that long. I mean, I learned on Dane Wigington's show of geoengineering that the geoengineering started about the same time that the nuclear industry did. So the assault on the planet started then, and we have been willfully ignorant intentionally so we could just enjoy our lives. But, you know, whales are landing up dead. We don't have the luxury as adults to just ignore this and not part. And yes, it's scary. Yes, we have to stick our necks out because, frankly, and this is a person who takes pharmaceutical drugs to cope with life. And I said, look, if you don't face this thing, all that stuff that makes your life comfortable is going to disappear in a heartbeat. And then you are going to be crying like, oh, I didn't know. And frankly, we do know. And it is our obligation. It is our duty, not as just Americans, but as human beings. We are members of a gigantic planet that is under assault by obviously a controlled effort. And it's very clear. Now, we don't really have there's no plan to stop them. We don't have a method of operating here. But guess what? We can formulate some ideas. We can come together. I believe that this is what we're called to do. We were born on this planet on purpose right now to save the planet. That's what I believe.
Yeah, and I believe you're right too. And I believe that your friend and people like that are complicit in the crimes being perpetrated against humanity. And if they don't have the courage to stand up for themselves, they ought to have the courage to stand up for their kids or their grandkids. Because again, I will blame that previous generation that stood down after the JFK assassination. Right. I will blame them for not routing that evil out then and there, because it ought to have been done. Right. But they bought the magic bullet bullshit, and they bought so they buy all of the corporate lies. And now where are we? We're in a much worse situation, which is why you and I are speaking out every single day trying to rally the troops and wake people up, because this is it. The hour is late. We're in the, what, 11th hour?
It's true. 11th hour and 30 seconds. I mean, this is why I tell people, put your courage feet on, because people have lost their courage. So, you know what? It's a concerted effort. Put your courage feet on, because we need them, and we need people to be true human beings and express their love through saving our planet, because that's what humans do best. We love each other.
Yeah.
Look, I think we're headed up into 10 seconds, Sean. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Catch sgtreport.com. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.